Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
One, two,
well, lose a game that they should win on Wednesday, win a game that they should probably lose on Saturday. Manchester City into the FA Cup final for a second year running. Funny old game. This is Let Me Talk. I'm David Mooney. With me is the Athletic City correspondent, Sam Lee. Hello, Sam.
Morning.
Morning. Funny old game, eh?
Yeah. It's basically going to be a very politically correct podcast because they were rubbish, weren't they? But fair play for trying.
Yeah.
We can talk about some of the stuff that was like amusingly rubbish and some of the stuff that was genuinely rubbish, but the obvious context to it was the Madrid game the other night. So many different kind of things tied into that performance at Wembley. And obviously the FA Cup semi-final has traditionally been the time when everything catches up with City. You know, that they'll be chasing the treble, but they won't have the legs to go all the way. But what they have done is qualified for the Champions League semi-finals already, so it's not been so bad. So to go out of the semi-finals in obviously difficult circumstances, unlucky circumstances, quarter-finals, and then still have that fatigue, and you add in all the kind of emotional angst as well, it would be so easy to go out of the FA Cup as well, and that would have just been crap, wouldn't it? Like, I would have backed the players 100% to pick themselves up and win the league. But even just from a kind of a fan point of view and a media point of view, how crap would it have been to have gone from last Sunday when everyone's going, oh, it's all over, they're going to win the treble, to them being in one competition and everyone going, oh, the pressure's on now. Like, it couldn't be. Who could be asked for that? Yeah. And obviously you've got the players, this sadness from Madrid that Guardiola was talking about, if that had have rolled over into sadness of going out of the FA Cup as well, you know, it wouldn't have been an ideal scenario at all. So to get that win, see Bernardo and Rodri tapping the badge and all that kind of stuff, like, that was absolutely massive. That was the most important thing by miles, but they did obviously get lucky.
Yeah, but it's not just, oh, the pressure's on, because like, we can reasonably assume, I watched the Arsenal game in the evening on Saturday, and I didn't think Arsenal were brilliant, but they were obviously going to win that against Wolves. And then you look at kind of the fact that Liverpool played, you know, twice before City play. Arsenal got another game before City play. And, you know, you go out of the Champions League, you go out of the FA Cup, and even though it's still in City's hands, you're still two games behind. And it's like the psychological pressure's there as well. So it's just like, it was a big win, no matter how it came around. Let's start with this from Gareth, who got in touch to say, really pleased for Bernardo to get the winner. You could tell it meant a lot to him. Not much point in analysing the game. The team were clearly still hungover from the other day, but fine margins all fell our way, unlike in midweek. Immense character shown by all. And it really was fine margins, because the minute I read that, I was like, yeah, Grealish should have conceded a penalty.
Yeah, that was a strange one. Like, considering the one he got given against him in the final last year.
Yeah, yeah.
That was way harsher, I thought. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have been surprised if it had been given. Honestly, I'm slightly confused by that. Mm. And obviously in terms of the other margins as well. you can tell Chelsea were really committed to buying Raheem Sterling a couple of years ago because they've got fucking three of him. How do they have so many players going through on goal and nothing happened?
There was a tweet I saw from, you know, that account, The XG Philosophy, it was Nicholas Jackson clean through in the first half when he ends up going round Ortega. And it says Nicholas Jackson amassed an XG of 0.0 from this position. And there's just him and nobody else in the picture.
Well, that's it. Like, you can just come away and say they had chances, but... And the thing is, everybody does remember them, but it's like the amount of times they had, like, you could look at it, and, like, obviously this wasn't the case. Maybe it was. But it's one of those games where you can go, well, actually, Chelsea didn't have any shots on target in this game. And it's like, I don't care. Shut up. Like, look at all the danger they created. Look at the amount of chances they should have had if they were in any way competent. And it was one of those, wasn't it? They just kept managing it. There was the way that teams have managed to have some joy against City this year. They win the ball back. They pass one ball back towards their own goal. The guy who receives it springs it forward behind, and then someone's running in. That was happening quite a bit. But yeah, as the email says, which renders us slightly redundant, there's no point analysing it, is there? Because everyone knows the situation. But it's interesting, though, because obviously everybody will have known, you know, Guardiola's complaints after the game, talking about the recovery time. And completely fair. But there was a good question from Alan Shearer in the middle of it on the BBC stuff, because obviously he said it all again in the press conference as well. But Shearer was like, you don't have to play the same players, though. You can make changes. And Guardiola was like, yeah, basically we thought about that, but we always make changes here and we lose. So didn't want to do that. So we just went with it anyway. But then he said, speaking of which, I just had a message on WhatsApp saying they don't agree with Pep and his rant and he can fuck off, so... That's good. Not a City fan, obviously. opinions. Like that Grealish handball, I saw loads on Twitter. Oh, how can that be a penalty? It's never a penalty from City fans. And then from everyone else, it's obviously a penalty. It's the most obvious penalty. I was like, oh, for God's sake. But you know when you just see like serious people tweeting and it's like, this is just because you support a rival football team, mate. Like, take yourself out of it. Yeah. Anyway, the Guardiola thing was, yeah, he said, like, yeah, we thought about making all those changes, but didn't want to lose, so we didn't. But he also said about Bernardo, because obviously Bernardo scoring the winner, Guardiola said he thought about taking him off and putting Bob on the right because they noticed Bernardo was tired after like 25 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it was a funny old game in that the City fans that I'm in the WhatsApp group with, the number of, like, the joke is quite obviously, like, in those sorts of games, you'd say, you know, gets to, like, 60, 70 minutes, and you'd say something like, City should bring Alvarez on, like, even though he'd been playing for the whole game sort of thing. And, like, the level that it had got to with how involved Bernardo was, it was like, City should bring Bernardo on here. Like, he's just not involved in this game. He can't get into it. And then obviously pops up at the back post with the goal. Chris got in touch as well to say, on Caicedo, seems to be every time that City have played Chelsea since he signed for them, he just gets free rein to kick lumps out of City players. Absolutely shocking tackle.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is when I read that, my gut instinct was, you know what, not going to be too hard on the officials, given some of the things that went City's way.
yeah, true. Grealish, when he came off, he was well pissed off with the fourth official. I think he must have been complaining about Caicedo.
The challenge right before he came off was a bad one. It was a bad one.
Yeah, yeah. It was a weird sub, though, because, like, as soon as he got it, Pep went, right, Doku, come on. And it was like, he might be fine. Like, it seems like that's the change they wanted to make anyway. But, like, the other day, it was exactly like Real Madrid. Grealish was playing well. I thought Grealish was the best player yesterday. And then when I saw Doku coming on, I was like, well, hopefully this is going to be like Doku on the right, put Bernardo in the middle, Foden in the middle, get De Bruyne off. Because he looks finished. I mean in the game yesterday, not overall.
Not overall.
And keep Grealish on the left. And then it was Grealish off. I was like, oh, okay, strange. But then again, like, Doku was brilliant. Like, fair play, same as the other night. He comes on and gives them that extra spark. And, like, obviously, it's not that you can't just go, oh, you know what, the keeping the ball doesn't matter now. Let's just have a bit of chaos. Because obviously, Doku just needs to keep it and that kind of stuff. But the thing about City yesterday, and this isn't about Grealish or why he should have been on or why he should have been off or whatever. But the whole City approach yesterday, when they had opportunities to counter-attack, but like obviously, rightfully, they slowed it down because if you don't want to get into an end-to-end game with Chelsea because of reasons we've already mentioned and what's happened in the two previous games this season in the Premier League. But when you attack slowly, you don't take advantage of spaces in the other team because you want to make sure your team's all together. That is most deadly when you then do arrive in the final third. You then put your foot on the ball, pass it around, and you eke out an attack. But if you're so jaded and tired, and obviously it does conserve energy, but if you're so jaded and tired that after about four passes you give the ball away anyway and they are counter-attacking anyway, it just feels redundant. And the game just seems stuck on that loop. Like, City are trying to do what they normally do, but they just haven't got the capacity to actually do it. And it's just so disjointed. And like in terms of De Bruyne, like obviously got man of the match. I laughed out loud when he got it. But like, he did put in a hell of an effort. Like, he was always pressing. He was always trying to do stuff. I mean, off the ball. I mean, he was trying to do it on the ball. But Christ, he just kept giving it. Like, his passes were short. They were overhit. I still thought it was a mad decision to give him man of the match. Because when they announced it in the stadium, they had the graphic up first. Like, it's the man of the match. And then it was a City badge. It was like a FIFA Ultimate Team like walkout. Like, who's it going to be? And I was like, presumably they're going to give it to Bernardo because he scored. And then it was De Bruyne. I was like, how?
Like, there was only one option for me, and that was to cut the trophy in half and give half to Grealish and half to Doku because they shared the same position and both did the job well.
Yeah, yeah. But like I've said this before, but games at Wembley, I mean, I don't know what they did for this, and I don't know if it's an FA Cup thing or an EFL Cup thing, but when it was that 0-0 final against Chelsea a few years ago when City won on penalties, when Kepa didn't come off, they were going around the press box saying, who's man of the match, who's man of the match? I think it's been Aguero, I think he's been really good, but I know he didn't score, and I know you're not going to give it to him. And then I don't know who they gave it to in the end, but they just kind of, they just need to give it to somebody obvious or like a big name. And like De Bruyne genuinely did like keep running and closing down and stuff like that. And again, you know, saying they thought Bernardo was tired after 25 minutes or whatever, but he played the whole game. And like De Bruyne was obviously the same, but there was no opportunity even to go, okay, well, let's get him off the pitch.
Yeah.
Just play him until the very end. But like, do you remember we're in injury time when he ran into the corner to time waste, and the two worst attempts at time wasting you've ever seen in your life?
Yeah, timber.
But the first one, he just did the usual. Like, I'm going to try and kick it off this guy's shins,
booted
it
into the
out of the way, and it went straight through to the keeper. Guardiola was going mad. It's awful. But again, like, it can't. The analysis can't finish any other way than, well, they obviously were just knackered the other night. And obviously Guardiola kept making the point about like the emotional exhaustion as well. You know, he'd already been saying it when you got a game every 3 days. But then when you got a game every 3 days and you lose a huge one of them and you don't get to win the Champions League again, you got to factor that in too.
Yeah.
But like we said beforehand, that was a massive downside having to play so soon. But the upside comes now when, you know, I said they can have 2 days off and then have 2 days to prepare, which is more than they normally get. That is exactly the case. They have got 2 days off. They have got 2 days to prepare. And then on Thursday, they'll go and play that Brighton game. And like I say, they can just focus on Brighton and Forest. They don't have to go, well, if we do him here and him here, then he can play in Munich, and then he can rest against Wolves, and then he can play in Munich. Forget that. Just focus on those two games and have a week and get ready for Wolves at home.
Yeah.
Perfect now.
It's funny you mentioned the emotional side of it there, and we'll get into Guardiola's comments a bit later on because we'll hear what he had to say in the press conference. But Bashir got in touch to say, just wanted to say City's fitness, stamina and ability to pick themselves up after major Champions League setbacks is seriously underrated. They went out of the Champions League in heartbreaking fashion in 2019, 2022 and 2024, and look at the response in the very next game. In 2019, went out to Spurs. The very next game, they beat Spurs to return to the top of the league. In 2022, they went out to Real Madrid. At the very next game, they beat Newcastle 5-0 to remain top of the league. In 2024, they went out to Real Madrid. The very next game, they beat Chelsea to reach the FA Cup final. Their durability and toughness deserves a mention.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's a good point. I feel like I've mentioned at some point that the Spurs, I don't know whether it was on a podcast or a voice note for work or in an article, but yeah, that, you know, I think, yeah, we did mention it the other night, didn't we? Losing that Spurs game. Yeah, because obviously, like, losing against Madrid on penalties the other night was not ideal, but compared to that Spurs game, we were talking about this, weren't we?
Yeah, walking
like,
park.
It's nothing. And then having to play that exact same team in like the early kickoff on the Saturday, that's brutal. Really difficult. And then obviously they did it. Foden's first goal for the senior team, the diving header at the back post.
First Premier League goal, yeah.
Made some good blocks. Okay, yeah, that's of course. And then everyone was asking a question, weren't they, after the Bernabeu 2 years ago? How are they going to react? You know, because that was like a proper like funeral scenario in terms of after the game and how they recovered and all this kind of stuff. And then yeah, they battered Newcastle and then went to Wolves. So yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't really have any. Not so much about the game because I knew about the physical impact, and in the FA Cup semi-final is generally a game you've got to go into with low expectations for City just because of the context around it. But like I said, if they had have lost yesterday, I wouldn't have any concerns about them bouncing back in the Premier League because they just keep doing it. And this was the important thing about just getting that win yesterday, because that sadness from Madrid, the fatigue, that can exist in a bubble now. That's gone. You know, they're back in Manchester. They're time with friends and family. They can look forward to a couple of days off and then get a bit fresher and focus on the Premier League. And then, like I said the other day, if you've got the opportunity to win the league, then win the FA Cup, potentially against United, what an end to the season that is. So this kind of, if you think of it as like a virus of this sadness and fatigue, it needed to be contained. It couldn't seep over into today, into tomorrow, into the Brighton game. It's done now. They've contained it. That is all in the past. Like when it comes to the end of the season, when it came to that Villa game, final game of the season, and the parade after that, nobody was thinking about how shit the Madrid elimination was, because it was done. It was in the past. You moved on. You've won what you had to win. And that was why it was so important yesterday. Because look, even if they'd gone out and they win the Premier League, that the same thing would apply. But if you've got the opportunity now to win a double, to keep that so-called virus contained in like a 2 or 3 day period and then forget it and move on, it was so important for that. And there's very, very few times for City when you say the result is all that matters over the performance. And, you know, from a kind of analysis point of view, it feels a bit kind of pick and choosy to say, oh yeah, well, you know, they won, so that's all that matters. And weren't they so brave and tired and mentally strong enough? When, you know, Guardiola always talks about, I won the Champions League because Lukaku missed from 3 yards out. Yeah. And even yesterday he was like,
he mentioned it yesterday in the interview, yeah.
Oh, did he? Well, yesterday he was like, in midweek, Akanji gets to the byline, puts the cross, De Bruyne has the chance and misses. Yesterday, put the ball, get to the byline, pull it back, and Bernardo scores. Like, that's the difference. So it's like, it's hard to separate that from Chelsea should have had 3 goals, mate. So there is that element to it. But where you can't be worried or shouldn't really worry about City, and it's easy to say the performance is all that matters there. And I do genuinely believe that's fine, because when would you expect City to play like that again? And you would imagine, based on the history of the last however many years, or you know, maybe like the Southampton game last year, that was the worst performance by miles, that Southampton game. Like when have so many City players played so far below their level? But when you scratch the surface slightly, it's not because the wheels have fallen off. It's not because they're not any good now. It's because they were just absolutely knackered.
Yeah.
So you can just focus on the result and move on, because it's not like the performance is likely to happen again. I'm not saying they can't play badly again to the end of the season, but why did they play badly yesterday? They were knackered. Okay. Yeah. Well, they shouldn't be as tired as that. They shouldn't be as emotionally down as that in future. So carry on.
Yeah. There's no more games this season where you expect the game plan at the start of it will be just survive somehow. That's the situation. Yeah. Coming up after a short ad break, we'll talk about the fatigue that City were clearly suffering, and we'll hear from Pep Guardiola as well. See you shortly.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah. What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
I want to bring this in from Elaine, who says, with Pat making these comments at full time on the BBC, is now the time to do a deep dive with the sports science pros from different teams, not just cities, to see how close to physical limits they're scheduling these games. Surely there is statistical data around increased percentage chance of soft tissue injuries, for instance. This is a big focus of the post-match. And it's interesting that the reaction, I think, online has been very much... he wants replays scrapped, which I don't think he actually said on Friday, did he? I don't think he was. Having seen the press conference from afar on Friday, he seemed to be quite sympathetic towards the idea that lower teams couldn't get the a second game against the big team when they drew them. But there's that, and then you kind of combine it with this whole the outburst after the Chelsea game, and it's been he just wants what he wants. Everyone has to play these sorts of games. And it got me thinking, he never does this when City lose, does he? He always waits until they've won.
Yeah. Yeah, he said this. Now, now we've won, I've got the courage to say, if I'd lost, I'd shut up. Like, he said that in the BBC thing, but it was that classic kind of, you need to listen to it two or three times to work out what he actually said. Yeah, he does. I mean, I've literally just muted it. On the For You feed on Twitter, I've just hidden a post and said, no further posts from this dickhead, please. On another take about that, because I said this to Simon Bukowski yesterday. It's just like the fan solidarity stuff. Like, it's not going to go anywhere, because instead of people going, oh, actually, yeah, that schedule does feel a bit unfair, it's nah, 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 sovereign wealth fund, rah, 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 115 charges, rah, rah, rah. So forget it. All right, and that's just how it's going to be, because football fans in this country just can't fucking sort themselves out. And but you know, that's what, but by the same token, that's what people love about it. You know, there was an article on The Athletic the other day about the best thing about football is watching other teams lose, basically, and I can't disagree with that either, to be honest. So it's just how it is.
I just thought one of my favourite days ever in football, you know, was in what would become the pandemic season. I think just before lockdown happened, was the realisation that Liverpool couldn't get 100 points.
Yeah, that was a tremendous evening. That was like 2 days after the cast verdict as well. So it was like prime.
Oh, so it was after lockdown. Yeah, yeah.
Prime Burt situation that. They drew Arsenal, I think. And it was just, yeah. That was a good time to be alive.
this discussion was obviously a big focus of Guardiola's press conference. Here's what he said in that. I've cut it down a bit, but this is the majority of what he said, so I've tidied it up a little bit. But this was the post-match comments from Guardiola.
I'm incredibly happy to play the semi-finals of the FA Cup. So the schedule is tight. I love to be in quarter-final Champions League. I love to be in... but I don't understand. It's for the health of the players, for the spectacle, I don't understand how we survive today. I don't understand. People cannot imagine how punchy in our face, you know, to be out for the Champions League in the way we are out. Why don't give us one more day for the health of the players to arrive on Sunday? Because Coventry, Chelsea and Man United, they don't play in Champions League, they don't play Europa League, they don't play in the midweek. For broadcasters, okay, don't ask me after to do extra things, because we're not going to do it. So it's unacceptable to play today. So we play in incredible difficult conditions, and the game was tight. Chelsea had incredible chances in transitions. We had to control well, because we make a lot of easy balls loose because for our tired, because Some players make an incredible effort. What they have done today is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in a group of players, because 120 minutes at Madrid, no physicality, emotionally. The day after recovery, yesterday in the morning, just say hi, nothing. You can prepare absolutely anything, 4 hours to arrive since Manchester to here and play the game in these conditions. I don't understand how we survive, but in the same time, we are very pleased, show again how we are, these players they are. And at the end of the season, we'll come back here to play against United of Coventry, the final of the FA Cup again.
When the schedule was first announced, did the club ask whether the game could be
The club was late. Have to call before. No one is supposed. Do it deep. In this country, don't change anything. I said anything. If I pretend it's going to change in the next season, it's not going to happen. Don't ask me to make a meetings with the Premier League or FA Cups or referees or whatever. I'm busy. I have to prepare the games after 3 days, so I don't have time to go. If you don't have the sensitivity, be sensitive for that players. Because it's United play Champions League, I understand completely. Why? I'm waiting why we don't play on Sunday to one more day, but Chelsea nothing changed. For us, it's everything. And for Coventry and United, doesn't change to play today instead tomorrow. So, but it's not going to change. I know it. Next season, when we play Champions League, hopefully we'll qualify. If we play Champions League, it's the same week like Carabao Cup. We cannot play one day Tuesday and one day Carabao Cup. Tell me, how are we going to do that? Tell me. You're going to play EDS? Carabao Cup EDS? No dates, not a lot. And after next season, we're going to World Cup in after the season. We are incredibly happy. A lot of money for the club. We are a club with the prestigious. But when we finish the season, you have 2-3 more weeks after that for World Cup. And then, how many days I give off to the players? How many days? Have 1 week, 2 weeks, and start the season again, just in case Community Shield. It's unsustainable. They have to push the players, let's go, I have to perform for our fans, for the prestigious, for the club. How? I don't have courage. I don't have nothing to say to the players more than what they do. And we talk with UEFA, FIFA, yeah. Okay. Yeah. More World Cups, more teams, and European Cups. It's okay. We will be here. I'm saying I'm incredibly happy to win semi-finals FA Cup. That's why we compete in against Huddersfield, against Tottenham away, against Luton away, against Newcastle home to be here, and Chelsea. It was not easy schedule to reach the final. We're incredibly proud. But I just want to protect my players. I don't run. I'm sad for last Wednesday, but I don't have to run. I do this for the players, my players and for the players. It's unacceptable. The point is, say, I don't complain about the schedule. We don't complain about the schedule. In 7 years, we play every 3 days and we arrive at the last stages in every competition. These guys are an example. We don't complain. But I want to protect my players because we start in a condition that was a risk for the injury, a risk for the health, a risk for many things. I know they don't care, but I care as I am with them and I want to protect them. About that, make meetings. I don't want any more meeting. I don't go. Why? Because I have a game in 3 days. I don't have time to attend meetings. I'm sorry. But they decide we'll do it.
There's been lots of memorable matches and forms since growing your time at City. But given what you had to deal with on Wednesday to schedule,
no, incredible.
Would you say that was one of the best, perhaps the best performances that you've seen?
No, but in terms of quality, football and performance and no mistakes, it was not. But absolutely. First of all, I put in which conditions we travel to London to play against Chelsea, the best moment of the season, against these players, against this pace and this and the other ones, and do what you have done today. What a season we have done. What a season. Football defined like this. Manu Akanji arrived in the byline, cross, Kevin, up. Manu Akanji, byline, cross. Bernardo, goal. Define one season in these details. And today we did it and we could lose today. Chelsea had a lot of chances. I'm not denying that. We had two, but they had the chance. I could not expect differently. And today the coin come. Okay, but I'm going to define the season throughout the Champions League going to the final. These guys, after win the travel, after Premier League, but still come here. Today I said to them, so don't fight against your feelings. You are sad, it's fine. You are disappointed, it's fine. Don't pretend to be happy all the time in their life. You are sad, you're sad. I'm sad. I said to them, I'm sad.
But once we are here, okay, do your best. And they did it. Akanji, how you play Manu and Rodri and Kevin. And Kyle was injured 3-4 weeks, played 120 minutes. I said, I want to play. Guys, you have a tough Mudrik or Rahim or, I don't know, Mudweke or whatever. I want to play. Play good Kyle? No. But was there. Was there. And it's enough.
There we go. I thought his press conference was quite interesting there, Sam, because it's like an interview in that kind of one answer dances into the next one, and like he kind of builds on his points all the way through. And when you listen to the things he said, I don't understand how we survived today. You know, what we did today was one of the greatest things I've seen in a group of players. I mean, he's fond of hyperbole at the best of times, but still. We started in a condition that is a risk for injuries, and I know that they, like the authorities, don't care. In terms of quality, it wasn't a good performance, but absolutely it was a good performance. With like that juxtaposition, I know what it means. But the sadness thing I thought was quite interesting. Like the whole, you're sad, it's fine, don't pretend to be happy all the time in your life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, once you're here, you just got to do your best. It's almost like that use the sadness.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think he said similar before. It was maybe in the build-ups to the Manchester Derby or the Liverpool game when I think it was Ollie Holt came in and he was asking questions about him as like a leader and stuff. And he was like, do you have to, you know, do you ever feel tired? He was like, yeah, sometimes. He was like, do you have to hide that in front of the players? And he was like, he goes, no, they know. And it's like, can you imagine Guardiola being pissed off and you not noticing? Like, it would be impossible. It'd be impossible, wouldn't it?
The most unsubtle man on the planet. Yeah,
yeah. But he kind of has to, like. But I think I'm sure part of the point there was you got to feel how you feel and just kind of get through it. Like yesterday when Foden, when obviously the one noticeably really good thing that De Bruyne did was that reverse ball for Foden when he rounded the keeper. And then obviously that attack carried on for a bit before he went out for a corner. And then Rodri was just going mental. And I think it was just a general outburst at, fuck off, why aren't these things going our way?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like first the other night, now this, what's going on? Because he didn't seem to be going mental at Foden, but it was obviously in reaction to Foden not having scored. And Foden didn't seem to be especially affronted by it. He just kind of threw his arms up. But he wasn't really looking at Rodri either. And it just felt, you know, in terms of like body language, it's not ideal because that's a proper just moan. But it's almost like...
It was tetchy, you
know,
was it?
Foden could have easily said, you know, if this was like a cheeky sitcom, do you feel better about yourself now? Now you've had that little paddy? Do you know what I mean? It was that kind of thing, like, okay, got out of your system, let's carry on. Like, it was just one of those things. And I wrote my article on it on The Athletic, the idea of, you know, just embracing that kind of sadness and those feelings and just playing through regardless. But, I mean, there is no other way, is there? Like, to be fair, like, I suppose you could, because there's enough good things he could remind them of, you know. But it's almost like that justification, isn't it? The more you justify something, the more you try and point out how good things are, the more you kind of get the feeling that, oh yeah, well, you would say that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
He could stand in front of them and say, guys, what we've done over these years is incredible. Like, we're still here for the FA Cup. We've got the opportunity to play in the final again. And you can imagine him saying how it makes him feel so happy and blah, it's such a privilege. He goes, we can win the Premier League. You guys are amazing. To be fair, you could easily imagine him say that and you could remind them. But I don't know, maybe it just gets a bit more on their level. Like, guys, if you're sad, it's okay. I'm sad as well. Like, it's fine to be like that. Go out there, get the job done. But again, like, there's another sheen on this analysis because they won. But if they'd have lost yesterday, we'd have been saying, oh, it was shit, wasn't it? They were tired, but it just would have been completely, completely different. But yeah, it is another good way for Guardiola to kind of manage those situations. And just going back to the email about time to do like a deep dive with like sports science people. I mean, yeah, it's something I could do potentially for The Athletic, or it's something that the various people we employ to do general stuff, they could do if it's not been done already. I mean, as much as we put a lot of effort into this podcast, I'm not sure there's enough time, certainly energy, to put together something fully like that. But if I were to do it for The Athletic, I could maybe use some audio clips But yeah, the premise is obviously spot on. Like, and it is something that's interested me for a while. I would love, you know, even if not just in this extreme case, but, you know, when the debate is around Guardiola not using subs, or he plays a stronger team in this game than expected, you know, because I always say these guys have got the data. These guys know. And obviously some of it is just, you know, Guardiola deciding for himself. Because apparently Guardiola's like genuinely like really good at going, no, you're tired. Like, you say you're fine, but you're not. Stop training, go inside. And yeah. And then they'll see the data afterwards and they'll be like, oh, yeah, he was right. Like, he was well below his levels. So there's that too, which you're never going to be able to quantify. But yeah, that stuff does interest me. Yeah, in terms of being able to do it on this podcast, maybe it's a summer thing when there's a bit more time. But for sure, it would be something to very much quantify because again, Guardiola goes and says that on BBC, which is a massive audience and a great time to make the point. But then you've just got United fans and whoever going, wah, 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 wah. But if you were to actually say, this is the impact of doing it, then it should be more impactful. But again, if it's attached to any one club in particular, then it's just going to rile up everyone else. So
yeah,
it does need to be a kind of scientific thing across all teams. But it's obvious, isn't it? Like,
I'm just glad he said it.
It is funny that Guardiola knew all those risks and just went, well, I don't want to lose, so I'm going to play the lads anyway.
I'm glad he said it though, because like at the start of the game, I didn't want to sit there going, God, they look tired today, as a reason for why they were giving away and, you know, making passes that were too short or booting it out of play when they were trying to find somebody. And then Guardiola says it at the end, and I'm like, okay, that's enough for me. Like, absolutely, we'll go with that.
Well, yeah, I was talking about it the other day, wasn't I? Like, you know, the idea of Rodri being tired. I do feel like it's thrown around too much. And then after about half an hour yesterday, I was like, I wish I hadn't made that point so recently.
Yeah,
because I was like, where do I go from here? But I was like, but they do genuinely look really tired though. Like, and that was the thing, you know, I said before about when they slow down the attacks, they get everyone bunched together. But like, if Bernardo hasn't got any energy to do anything, and De Bruyne is just giving it away left, right, and centre, then where are these attacks going really? And like, you mentioned the group chat comment about Alvarez, but he did nothing, did he?
Mm.
And then when Oscar Bob comes on at the end, and he just starts holding the ball up in the middle of the pitch, it's like, oh, right. But it's weird. Like, you know, I said the other day, like, Alvarez can run in behind, but it's not something City utilise. But we know he can drop off and link up with the midfield. But there was none of that either. It was really unusual. And it just allowed, you know, because we talk about Haaland making an impact even when he's not playing well. You know, just the fact that he's there, the teams have to adjust their approach. Like, there obviously wasn't that with Alvarez. Chelsea were just able to go, well, we can basically ignore this guy here and press City high up and not worry too much about anything else. It was a real wasted opportunity for Alvarez, really. Also, there was one in the first half, probably quite early, about 12 minutes, something like that, when De Bruyne got the ball. And if Haaland had been on the pitch, he wouldn't have even had to look. I mean, he probably wouldn't have executed it, given what we've just been saying about his... Yeah, but like, Haaland would have made that run. And De Bruyne would have made that pass. And there was another one less clear on the left-hand side. But even if De Bruyne hadn't have turned and played the pass, Haaland would have been making that run. And that does keep the defenders honest. And that was, you know, like... But if Alvarez had been playing as Alvarez can, then we would have seen a good argument against, you know, maybe Haaland doesn't have to play every game. Maybe there can be a bit more of a return to the false nine. But like, when neither of them are contributing anything, you get less with Alvarez, because teams aren't even worried about him running behind or occupying, you know, two men. So there was a big kind of net loss on the old number nine position yesterday. And then obviously Bob was only on for a few minutes, but then he gets the ball in the middle. He just looks really tidy with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just quickly before we move on from the whole fatigue thing, Sam, interesting Guardiola's comments in the press conference about the number of competitions that they're playing. And he was kind of going into the idea that, you know, they finish the season, then they get to the Club World Cup. And, you know, if they're in the Community Shield, there's only a couple of weeks between that and everything building up together. Do you ever see a time when City refuse to compete in something, say the Community Shield, should they win either the league or the cup this year? Because it got like that comment specifically got me thinking. I did a thing a few years ago about City in Community and Charity Shields, And I discovered at the time, because I, again, obviously didn't know my history properly, but go back to the 70s, 1972. Derby and Leeds both opted out of the Charity Shield at the time. So City were fourth in Division 1. They were invited to play in it. And Aston Villa, the Division 3 champions, were invited to play. City won that one at Main Road. 1973, Liverpool and Sunderland chose not to play in that year. Bill Shankly, the Liverpool manager, said after ahead of that game that his preparation was geared to having the squad ready for the first league match, not the Charity Shield held the week before. City again invited as the holders. They played Burnley, the Division 2 champions. That was the third year in a row when neither the FA Cup winner or the Premier League winner, or the Premier League winner in the 70s, fucking hell, Division 1 winner in that year decided to play in it. Do you see us ever going back to a time like that where managers might go, you know what, no, we're not doing it?
I don't know, because you can just imagine the kind of PR disaster that it would be now. As funny as that front page of the Mirror was from 20-odd years ago when United pulled out of the FA Cup, could you imagine the fallout now, especially City, to say no thanks? But also that quote, did you say Shankly, was it?
Yeah.
So he's gearing the performance towards the first game of the season. I mean, that's basically what teams do now, isn't it? Particularly City. They do try and get ready for the first game of the season, which is why, do you remember when they played...
Leicester?
Leicester. And Sam Adozie played on the left wing. Did he start, actually, or did he come on? I think he did start. Because it's just, okay, well, this game is not important. This game is actually getting ready for the first game of the season. So it is useful in that sense. Also, I think it's particularly useful for City because Guardiola doesn't like to make... he doesn't like to have too many friendlies. The Community Shield is like a friendly obligation, but yeah. Also... when there is a trophy up for grabs, they and he really want to win it. So there is a bit more attached to it. It kind of gets them in the mood for the Premier League a week early. But if you do lose, it's not the end of the world. So that's kind of the perfect scenario for them, I think. I don't know. I think now in terms of teams pulling out of stuff like that, it would be unheard of. Not unheard of. It wouldn't be unheard of. That's why that word crept into my head. It wouldn't be unheard of because it turns out it happened before 50 years ago. But I feel like now, with, you know, how fractured everything is, and even if teams had very good reason to pull out, everyone else would just be moaning about it. It would just be a disaster. But, you know, Guardiola, one of the points Guardiola was making about the calendar, like you said there, was next season when there's Champions League group games in January, it's the same week as League Cup fixtures. So he's like, what am I going to do? Put the EDS in the League Cup or put the EDS in the Champions League, what are we going to do? And yeah, that the thing is, like, if Guardiola does leave at the end of next season, which we just mentioned the other day, didn't we, as a possible, because that seems like the most likely thing, and that was the information at the end of last season. And
obviously that's starting to be reported. That is, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. So if that is the case, what a weird end to his time it would be. Whatever happens in the Premier League or the Champions League or whatever, like, it's weird anyway doing anything at the end of the season, because like, who's asked? Like, who is asked? No one. Like, it's just not important. Like, you can't make a match important. You know, like with the Community Shield, like, it's kind of important, but if you lose, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't really sting that much. You can't make a game important. Like, that is going to be a really weird way for Guardiola to leave. Whatever they've done, like, I haven't even thought too much about it, but if they win the league, then it's just like a little victory lap, isn't it? But like, if they don't, and there's a bit of disappointment there, and then they just go to America for this like weird friendly, it's a competition I say nobody wants. I'm sure loads of people want it for millions of reasons. That'll be a weird scenario in particular. I mean, it's not great scheduling anyway, but it'd be particularly weird timing for if they're to be Guardiola's last games. But then again, you know, fucking if he just wins it, if he wins it and wins the Premier League and whatever else next season, then it wouldn't be so bad. But five in a row, is it?
That'll go down well.
I think that'll just be recognition there with the brilliant team that City are.
That's it for the free version of Let Me Talk. There is more for members, though. Go to lmtpod.com if you want to sign up for those longer ad-free episodes. Sam, what is in this one for members?
Yeah, we've got De Bruyne's fitness. Is it a now thing or is it a forever thing? That's good, isn't it? Does Alvarez fit in at City? Stefan Ortega being great in his probable last game in the FA Cup final. And More on the Akanji and Stones role debate.
Exactly that. That's all for members. If you want to sign up, then head over to lmtpod.com for details. When you're there, just click on the button for longer ad-free episodes and follow the steps there. After April, that will be the only way to listen to the show. The free versions will be coming to an end after the analysis episode for the Nottingham Forest game next weekend. It costs just £2 a month, or you can get it slightly cheaper by signing up for a full year for £20. Head over to lmtpod.com to sign up.